The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So, with this Monday talk, Dharmet, I'll introduce the topic of the week, which is beauty. And beauty is not so often associated with the Dharma or with meditation, especially in the usual Buddhist circles that I'm in. I think with meditation, the associations maybe would be something like with calmness, with concentration, with being attentive, with clarity, all wonderful qualities. But to associate with beauty is something the Buddha did, not very often, but certainly he did. And he talked about someone who was proficient in meditation as being skilled in the beauty of meditation. The word is samadhi, so skilled in the beauty of samadhi. And that for us to discover, align ourselves, attune ourselves to the beauty of meditation is a guide and support for us to find our way in meditation. It's one of the wonderful aspects of meditation to discover this beauty that can exist. And we can maybe call this Dharma beauty. And maybe if we want something a little bit more broad and meaning, we could say spiritual beauty, that we're discovering, tapping into something important. And it can be a companion, foundation, and guide to our freedom. Certainly freedom from that which is not beautiful. To have that reference point that things like hostility and possessiveness and conceit, if we actually tune into it, not as a moral judgment, but as a felt experience, that these are not beautiful. But there is beauty. And rather than looking at our inner dispositions and tendencies in moralistic terms, what happens if we look at them from the point of view, are they beautiful or are they not beautiful? And to live in beauty, to sit in beauty, to walk in beauty, to stand in beauty, to lay down in beauty. The idea that beauty is an important part of the Dharma is characterized by the Buddha's often repeated little saying that the Dharma is beautiful in the beginning, beautiful in the middle, and beautiful at the end. That kind of puts, you know, the Dharma right in the context of this idea, whatever we mean here by beauty, beautiful. Now, often when people associate the Dharma, talk about the Dharma, they associate with things like truth, with the teachings, to the natural order of things, to maybe to even freedom and liberation. But there's a way in which things like calmness, concentration, freedom, even truth, are so easily appropriated as mine. Like, this is the truth, and we stick to the fixed views. I know what's true here. Or this is my, you know, I'm calm, and look how great I am, I'm calm, or I'm supposed to be calm or concentrated. And it's so often seen through that filter of self. And the idea of beauty doesn't lend itself, I don't think, so easily to being appropriated for selfish purposes or self-centered person, me, like, or we don't, it's more and more difficult to inner beauty, to think of it as mine, or I've attained it, I've made it, or this is the right beauty or something. There's a kind of a much more of a, I think maybe a wonderful impersonal quality or non-possessive quality to the notion of beauty. It tends to be there independent of our habits of identity and self-reference and personal appropriation of anything. So the word that's being translated here as beauty or beautiful is kalyana. So beautiful in the beginning, middle, and end, the Dharma is kalyana. In the beginning, it's kalyana in the middle, and kalyana at the end. It's most commonly translated as good. The Dharma is good in the beginning, good in the middle, and good at the end. And of course, good is good. Like, you can't argue that. I don't want to argue that good is not good. So that's good, to call it good. But I believe that it limits it, and it also is relatively abstract and vague what good means, and almost needs to be explained further. Well, in what way is it good, people might ask. It turns out that this word kalyana appears in the Buddha's teachings many hundreds of times. And most translators will regularly translate it as by the word good. And so we see it kind of peppered throughout the Buddha's teachings, this word good, 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 good. And at least for me, when I read those, the word good, when I did, I kind of like, you know, I thought it was good, that was nice, but it didn't really touch me in any kind of deeper way. But when I came to realize that the word kalyana can also mean beautiful, and then started rereading the teachings of the Buddha, and rather having them, those teachings, you know, peppered with the word good, they got peppered with the word beautiful or beauty, I got a whole different feeling for it. Because it touches my affect, my different kind of sensitivity. It's more of an emotional word. It's a much richer word than just simply a word of the intellect. And maybe the word good is not just of the intellect, but words like truth is. You know, what's the Buddha's truth? What's the Buddha's teachings? Lends itself to kind of an intellectual thing. But if we ask ourselves, what's the beauty the Buddha was pointing to? What's beautiful for the Buddha? And can we align ourselves to that beauty? Can we live in that beauty? Can we participate in that beauty? So if you go into the Pali English dictionaries, and you'll see that the word kalyana, the first definition is beautiful. But it also means things like virtue and virtuous, good and goodness, excellent and excellence. It has a richer kind of range of meanings. If you go to the Sanskrit English dictionary, there's even a wider range of meanings that this word kalyana has in Indian, in Sanskrit. I'd like to read that list. Agreeable, illustrious, noble, generous, excellent, virtuous, good, beneficial, salutary, auspicious, happy, prosperous, fortunate, and lucky. Wow, that's pretty cool. A great list. And so, all, you know, so, but so those are wonderful lists. But in the Sanskrit English dictionary, also beautiful is the first definition for it. Maybe there's something about beautiful that encompasses, that is very inclusive of so much more. Because, and I like it because it connects this concept to kalyana, to the human sensibilities and experiences that are much more holistic than abstract ideas of philosophy or metaphysics or even ethics. Beauty is an experience of perception, affect, and feeling, not intellect alone. But the word kalyana is also closely associated with the idea of virtue and inner goodness. So it's not just simply, you know, a piece of art that's aesthetic and beautiful. It's related to something that's a very of personal qualities. something deep inside that we can experience. So I want to tell you just briefly how my thinking, my reading of these texts, went in the direction of discovering that the word kalyana can mean beautiful, and how it kind of brought to life a very different experience of the Buddha's teachings and also appreciation of what happens in meditation, what happens as we live our life in a deeply connected way. I found myself a year and a half ago very strongly drawn to the Navajo concept of walking in beauty. I just kept, every time I heard the expression, it kind of excited me or awoke something in me and resonated with something in me. And so finally, after kind of letting it percolate in my mind for a long time, I went to read something about what the Navajo say about this idea. And to my surprise, it turned out to be at the center of their religious life. And the word that's translated as beauty, I can't pronounce it accurately. I tried to go here and Navajo speak it so that I could say it, but it's something like hozu, hozu. And the word hozu when the Navajo described it in English, what it means, they had a whole series of words that included virtue, harmony, the natural order, goodness, many of the words that, you know, are really rich. But since, you know, many of them speak English, they chose beautiful to represent the word into English. They also apparently use that word as a translation both for art and for religion. And amazing to have art and religion with that same word, the word beauty. And so I got really excited by this, and I wondered, where in the Buddhist teachings is there a word that has this kind of wide range of holistic meanings that could also mean beautiful? And for a while I tried out dharma. And I thought, maybe dharma can do that. It has many, many, many meanings. But when I cast about a little bit, and then I discovered this word kalyana can mean beautiful. I thought, wow. And then it kind of came alive for me. And really came to appreciate the rich emotional, aesthetic, and subjective associations that come with the word beautiful. And so it's not just something objective only, like the truth or the Buddhist teachings or something. And it's not too subjective, like I take it as mine. It exists in this wonderful interface or dimension or something that seems not quite personal, but not impersonal either. Something that's almost like larger than self or deeper than self, but certainly deeply connected to subjective experience. And to discover, to sit in the Dharma, to practice in the Dharma, and begin discovering what's beautiful within, or be able to discover what's beautiful outside us, to have eyes, the inner eye and the physical eye, that's able to see beautiful and see what's beautiful. This is one of the potentials of the Dharma. And certainly for me, that over these years that I've practiced, I feel like I've been much more in touch with what's beautiful than I ever knew growing up because of this Dharma practice. And I certainly was in touch with it, but to now have this clear kind of place for it or word for it in the Dharma has kind of made it much more rich and something that I can now relate to more or embody more or kind of use as a reference or as a teacher for myself in a very wonderful way. I'd like to end that this word beautiful gives us a unique and a very important orientation in reference to Buddhism and Buddhist practice, to mindfulness and mindfulness practice. So we'll talk more. I'll talk more about this over the week. Today was meant to be kind of an introduction to this word beautiful, and hopefully the introduction was beautiful enough. And then we'll talk about different aspects of it as we go along here. And in the meantime, if you're interested, you might spend the next 24 hours, parts of it, reflecting on your relationship to the word beautiful and what I've said and this idea of living in beauty. What does it mean? What would it mean if you could live in beauty? And maybe you can ask some friends, people you respect or value their points of view. Maybe you can ask them what they think living in beauty might mean. So thank you. Until tomorrow.